Good morning, everyone. This is Doug Craig. I'm not Trudy Pratt. Dr. Pratt is having a well-deserved break today, and she's asked me to fill in for her, and I'm happy to be here. Oncologist in town and blog and the Record Searchlight web at Reading.com called Today's Topic is focusing on people far away called Darfur. And you have on hand a couple very wonderful people in the studio with me to help us bring this story. Pamela Spoto, she's a professor at Shasta College and project director for the Shasta College Community Teaching Garden. She's also an acclimate. And we will introduce our honored guest today, Marv Steinberg.
Morning. Marv Steinberg was born and raised in San Francisco. He graduated from the University of Washington with a BA in business and served 2 years in the Army. He went back to school, earned a teaching credential at San Francisco State. He also met his future wife, Shirley. They began their teaching careers in 1988 in San Carlos and Saratoga. He became school administrator in Saratoga for 15 years. They moved to Palo Cedro in 1980, and Marv became superintendent principal at Bella Vista until retirement in 1998. On a more personal note, Marv Steinberg was raised Jewish, baptized at Saratoga Presbyterian Church in 1966. He and his wife had three children, Scott, Suzanne, and Todd. Marv had a three-way heart bypass in 1998 and a stent in 2000. His family moved to Reading in 2000. Suzanne, who had been diagnosed with MS at the age of 17, became seriously ill in 2004. This is his daughter. She was in and out of hospitals in the Seattle area for 3 months and had to come home. The family took care of her until she was able to move to the Bay Area in late 2004. She passed away from complications related to MS on May 5, 2005. This was a tremendous loss, emotional and void, because of involvement in her care. And this leads us into the first question that we've asked Marv Steinberg this morning about how he became involved in Darfur.
Well, after the loss of Suzanne, which was really devastating, as was mentioned, there was a void in my life. And then in March of 2006, I faced prospective heart surgery again. Had a long conversation with God. I'd been influenced in my early years by the Holocaust. My mother was one of 13 children, five of whom I knew, the other I didn't know, never did know, never knew what happened to them. But I remembered the rabbi talking about the Holocaust. I also, in this conversation with God, had been influenced by recent reports from Ann Curry on NBC of what was going on in Darfur. And I promised that if I got through this, I was going to do well. The prospective heart surgery turned out medication solved that problem. But I kept my promise, and in April, the 1st of April, I spoke to the congregation at the First United and invited them to join me in doing something about Darfur. Out of that came a group called Genocide No More Saved. One of our first actions, after having a meeting to which the public was invited, was to go down to San Francisco and demonstration on the Golden Gate Bridge on April 30th of that year. Upwards of 10,000 people linked hands on the Golden Gate Bridge, reminding people of what was going on in Darfur.
So this word, genocide, we hear it bantered about. Certainly, if we're a student of history, we know that periodically, for various reasons, one set of human beings find it necessary to, on a whole-scale basis, slaughter others. And we have something exactly like that going on now in our lifetime as we speak. And so could you give the listeners a better understanding of exactly what's going on in Darfur right now?
Well, Darfur has a history of trouble. There was a long, two long civil wars between the North and South. And during the second civil war, eventually solved in 2005, the government of Al-Bashir in Khartoum, Sudan, cracked down on the western region, which is called. People had long been neglected, felt neglected, and there wasn't going too well for the government of Sudan. Targeted the civilian, decided that one of the things eliminate members of these tribes. And definition of genocide, wholly or partially, a people. And that was what was going on, started in Darfur in 2000.
Okay. We're speaking today with Marv Steinberg. He's the head of a local group focused on our concern in Darfur, and we'll be right back after this break. Hi, everybody. This is Doug Craig here, filling in for Trudy Pratt, and I'm happy to be here. Trudy's. We're here talking with Marv Steinberg about genocide in Darfur and what we do about it. What I'd like to do now, though, one of Marv's real important supporters through the local Methodist Church is a musician named Greg Lost. And Greg's written some great music and has put out a CD, actually, his concerns about what's happening. Pamela Spoto is going to read us a brief lyric from a song.
Sometimes it's difficult to understand words as they're being sung, so I'll just read this short portion. Darfur, once you've heard the word, you've got to hear the story. Once you've heard the story, you've got to make a vow. Once you've made the vow, you've got to end it now. Move to end it now. Move to end it now.
If this was happening right next door, would you at least look out your window? And if this happened on your street, wouldn't you make the time for your neighborhood to meet? Well, this is really happening so far away. Innocent people dying every day. You might think there's nothing more to say. Did you know that they believe? Once you know, you just can't be Darfur. Now you've heard the word, you've got to hear the story. Once you've heard the story, you've got to make a vow. Once you've made the vow, you've got to move to end it now. Move to end it now. Move to end it now. It is not distance alone that tears apart a family driven from their home. It is the hopelessness and fear that when their cries go up to heaven, none on earth can hear. When time is on the killer's side, 'cause those who might do something choose to hide. While leaders prattle with their politics and pride, the one truth we know for sure, every day needs countless more. Darfur, now you've heard the word, you've got to hear the story. Once you've heard the story, you've got to make a vow. Once you've made the vow, you got to move to end it now. Move to end it now. Move to end it now.
Good morning, everybody. This is Doug Craig filling in for Trudy Pratt. We just heard a song from Greg Lawson's CD about the genocide in Darfur, and we have Marv Steinberg in the studio with us. The song alludes to the idea that we, the human race, need to come together to stop genocidal acts in the world. But so often, I think, we find it difficult to get out of our busy lives and concern ourselves with others in this manner. Could you talk a bit about your struggle to get others involved with your...
Well, it hasn't been a real struggle in the sense that there have been many people who have been involved since we started, not only from our church, but from other First Christian Church, Pilgrim Church, have all been involved, along with students from high schools, both Shasta High School and Enterprise High School, at one time or another have been involved. We've reached out in a variety of different ways. One of the things we do every month is we hold a prayer vigil on the Sundial Bridge at the last Friday of the month. 7 o'clock in the summer months, 5 o'clock during the winter months. We do letter writing. We meet once a month, write letters by hand, had all kinds of different activities, anything from rafting down the Sacramento River, sing-alongs, involved in nationwide efforts, and people have come forth. Yes, it's difficult at times. There are many needs in this world, many needs in our state, spread thin.
And in discussing this with you before the show, you had mentioned that this runs across party lines, not a liberal issue, it's not a conservative issue. From all ends of the political spectrum are concerned about this, including a fairly conservative senator named Senator Brownback. Can you talk about some of that, please?
Yeah, that was one of the things that really surprised me as I got involved in this, that it is not a political issue. For instance, the ongoing civil war between the North and South was solved by the Bush administration, and mainly on impetus from the Christian right, who, because this was involving a lot of efforts to impose Sharia law on the southern part of Sudan by the Muslim North, Christians, animists in the southern Sudan, there was real pressure from supporters of President Bush to do something to end the genocide. And that pressure carried on, and some of the leaders have been liberal Democrats, other leaders have been conservative Republicans, both in the Senate and in the House of Representatives.
We're here speaking with Marv Steinberg. He's the local leader of a group trying to bring attention to the concerns, and we'll be right back after this break.
MD Imaging.
Good morning. This is Doug Craig filling in for Trudy Pratt. And with us is Marv Steinberg. He is the Genocide No More Save War. Marv got started on this important journey after suffering a very serious tragedy in his life. We're very interested in joining us in the studio is a professor from Shasta College.
I have a series of related questions that I would like to ask Marv Steinberg. For example, you could help us describe, where is Darfur? Where is Sudan? How did all this business get, how do we make sense of it?
Sudan is located northeastern part of Africa, to south of Egypt. Largest country in Africa. In fact, it's the 10th largest nation in the world, bisected by the Nile River. Those of you who are old history buffs, these were the Nubians of the ancient Egyptian days, in Tut's time. Darfur is the western part. It's brutally affected by the encroachment of the Sahara Desert. Climate change has certainly played a part in what is going on, as well as oil. Country is rich in oil. Southern part of Sudan is one of the richest oil reserves, mainly going. And recently, they think they have discovered oil in northern Darfur, which will further complicate the whole situation.
We should talk also about politics, because politics certainly plays a role in this. During the 2007 to 2008 campaign, whenever. Nearly all the candidates addressed this issue in their campaign programs. Obama, Clinton, Biden, McCain all promised to do something about Darfur. Now that Barack Obama has been in office for a while, what has he done, and how do you feel about what he's been
doing? Well, that's a good question. You indicated they all agreed that they would do, but activists have been deeply disappointed by what has not happened in the Obama, the appointment of Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State, Susan Rice as Ambassador to the United Nations, one of his key advisors being Samantha Powers, who was one of the first to call attention to what was going on in Darfur as a genocide. The follow-through has not been there. Mainly the concern is with the appointment of his special ambassador to General Scott Gration, who has an African background. He was born and raised, but so far has been a great disappointment. The main problem is that there is no pressure on the government of Khartoum to end the genocide in Darfur. And while the so-called Obama policy has been released, it was released last year, there's been little follow-through in terms of prodding the government end the genocide.
Question, and this relates to fascinating, and maybe Doug Craig could, well, it seems as though when politics gets involved, unusual things happen, and you mentioned that due to the climate changing, the Sahara Desert expanding, oil possibly being in the northern part now, all of these things adding to a very problematic situation of what is going on there. Could you say anything else about that? Or this is something it seems as though we all need to be part of when we're talking about how the climate changes, how soil that was once productive becomes less productive, how deserts become larger, and then when oil is put into that mix, it becomes very difficult.
Yeah, the part of the problem goes back historically in terms of Arabs in the north being grazers and the Africans in the south being farmers. They're all Muslims in terms of religion, but they make their living, they eke out their living in different ways. So the pressure of there being less land for grazing forces them to south. And the government of Sudan used that. They armed the Arabs of the north. Typical attack on a village was begun. It would start with bombers coming over the village, frighten the people, and then the Janjaweed, who were the military, the non-governmental arm of the government, basically, would come in on horseback, and they would kill the men. They would often rape the women, kill the children in front of the women's very eyes. And yes, that's a part of it. Another interesting thing that would just come to my attention is that they now think there's a large aquifer. And again, will complicate the whole. So yes, these things do play into what's going on.
Marvin is a group, Genocide No More Save Darfur, a local group, has been very busy for years now, monthly writing letters, holding prayer vigils out at Thundial Bridge. And I wanted to ask you, Marv, when you write these letters, I know you ask for things like creating a no-fly zone or pressuring the governments of the world to take action on the president of Sudan, who I understand is under indictment right now, World International Criminal Court. Could you talk about some of your objectives that you're trying to...
It seems to change almost every month. We've written letters to the president, vice president, other members of the government, our own legislators. Right now, one of the main concerns is that the killing is going on again. It's kind of started up again after...
We are speaking with Marv Steinberg, our local advocate for powerless people in Africa. Trudy Pratt will be back next week with Positive Healthy Program. We're taking a break right now.
Attention, experience.
Good morning. This is Doug Craig filling in for the wonderful Trudy Pratt, who will be back next week for Positively Healthy Show. Today we're talking to Marv Steinberg, and occasionally we're listening to music. And this song comes from the CD created by Greg Lawson, For the Camps, Songs for the Refugees of Darfur. And this song is called If We Allow This.
And I'm going to read a lyric. If we allow this, how far will we let the world go? If we allow this, when will we stand and say no? The saddest freedom that we cling to is our freedom to ignore. Genocide will happen until we won't allow this anymore.
They live in the heart of nowhere. Are they meant to be alone? Because we feel that we've all done more than our share. Does that mean they're on their own? That's what makes it possible. Carry out unthinkable crimes. That's what makes it possible for genocide to happen in these civilized times. If we allow this, history at the end of brutal warfare. We all said never again. And now the cry comes from the heart of nowhere. Have we forgotten to say? That's what makes it possible to perpetrate the murder of a race. That's what makes it possible for monsters to be hiding in this desolate place. If we allow
listening to a song from Greg Lawson featuring his wife Vicki and brother-in-law Steve Ono, a CD called For the Camp, Songs for the Refugees of Darfur. And in the studio is Marv Steinberg. And why don't you tell us a little bit about Greg and his music?
Well, Greg's songs have inspired us. They've been played in the camps. They've been played to the people, in particularly in Camp Conungo, which is the camp we've adopted, which is a little bad. They have heard his music. It's a connection to the people of Darfur, and we really appreciate his music.
And one of the concerns we have, of course, are the children. We understand that in wartime, it's not always the military that gets killed. Often the children killed or enslaved, and in particular, there's a phrase some of us have heard, which is the Lost Boys of Sudan. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, there are more than 27,000 Lost Boys of Sudan, Dinka tribe, and they were displaced during the civil war between the North and the South. Many had been drafted into the army, were forced to fight. Some of them are now in the United States. In fact, on August the 1st, down in San Francisco, one of the Lost Boys of Sudan, who is a graduate of Stanford University, will be speaking, and I'm hoping to get down there. We'll post more information about that on our website, which is darfurreading.org. That's darfurreading, all together, .org. He's being sponsored by the San Francisco Bay Area Coalition. There are a number of Lost Boys of Sudan in the Bay Area. And there was an excellent book written by David Eggers about one of the Lost Boys of Sudan, titled Escapes Me Right Now.
We're speaking with Marv Steinberg, local leader of the Genocide No More Save Darfur group. We'll be right back after this break.
Today,
Dr. Trudy Pratt is taking a vacation day today. I'm Doug Craig, filling in for her. And we have in the studio Marv Steinberg talking about the situation in Darfur. And helping me with the interview is the wonderful Pamela Spoto, professor at Shasta College.
I have a question here that I think many of us ask when we're working on very ethical causes. And the question is, how do you not get discouraged? And a second part of that is, how do you keep going?
Well, first let me mention the name of that book. It's written by Dave Eggers, E-G-R-S, and it's called What is the What? The Autobiography of Valentino Achek Deng, based on the story of Achek, who's now living in the United States. And while I'm mentioning that, there's another excellent book called Memoir of Survival in Darfur. It's the only book written of the story of a woman who has survived the genocide of Darfur, written by Halima Bashir. with help of Damien Lone. First, I guess my religion keeps me going. From Matthew, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. And from Proverbs, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all. Those are just a couple of the readings in the Bible that I found sustaining. Also, the knowledge that there has been a lot of good done by people in Africa, that Africa is not a lost cause. Only to think of what's happened in South Africa and Sierra Leone, Liberia, where violence has been replaced by democracy. Those kinds of things keep me going. The knowledge that there are people out there who need help keeps me going.
I just wanted to say that those were two excellent quotes that you just gave us. Blessed are the peacemakers, because I think sometimes we forget that. And also, speak up for the voiceless. There are so many people who are suffering who do not have the opportunity to speak. Thank you.
I understand Don Cheadle, an actor that if you don't know the name, I'm sure you would recognize him if you saw him. He's been in many popular movies. Has also taken this on as his personal cause and has written a book. And you are in the book, I understand. So tell us about that.
Well, actually, the book is written by John Prendergast with Don Cheadle. And Prendergast is the founder of the Enough Project, which is one of the many non-governmental agencies that are doing some wonderful advocacy for the people of Darfur. And he wrote a book called Not on Our Watch. And we used that as a study guide at the First Methodist Church a couple of times. And somehow they found out about me, and part of what they've written about is a section they've called Upstanders, people who have stood up and are trying to do what they can for Darfur. And they have upstanders in Darfur. They have upstanders, plain people from the United States, and then they have celebrity or people of renown.
And that's really amazing, and we'll all look forward to see, what can our listeners who are out there listening to this program today, if they do want to get involved either with your group or with the wider group? I understand that as many as 150 people have gathered at one time on the bridge and as few as three. So the group involvement waxes and wanes. But what about that? How can people get more involved if they want to?
Well, there are two main things that are happening. One is getting humanitarian aid to the people of Darfur, and the other is supporting advocacy groups. And nationwide, there are several groups in terms of advocacy that I think work very well. Stop Genocide Now, the Enough Project, Save Darfur Coalition, Genocide Intervention Network. All our groups that are along with the San Francisco in terms of humanitarian, UNHCR, Church World Service, Doctors Without Borders. In terms of locally, as I mentioned earlier, we do meet on the Sundial Bridge the last Friday of the month. We will be there on the 30th at 7 o'clock. We gather for a prayer circle at the north end of the bridge and then move on to the bridge for 5 minutes of silent prayer or meditation. Our next planning meeting will be on the first Monday in August at Angelo's Pizza, and everyone is invited. We make our decisions based on who comes to the planning meeting, and it will be an important one. We'll be talking about fall activities as well as set goals for the next year. We are not doing letter writing this month. Our next letter writing will be on the 3rd of August at the United Methodist Church.
We're talking with Marv Steinberg. He's the local leader of a really hardworking group, relatively small but very dedicated group working on this important issue. And we'll be right back after this break.
What do you look for? Learn more about our shows.
Good.
And hope.
Good morning. This is Doug Craig filling in for the wonderful Trudy Pratt, Dr. Pratt. We're with Marv Steinberg talking about Darfur. And even though statistics can kind of be boring, it's kind of important to get a grasp on the numbers that we're talking about. So could you tell us about the actual numbers of human beings that are being impacted by
estimates? Are there are already 400,000 dead and 2.5 million who have been by just the conflict in Darfur.
Amazing. It's mind-boggling.
That's a huge number. 400,000 dead and over 2 million displaced.
They think 2.5 million. There's about 300,000 in camps.
And if I visited a camp, what would I see?
You would see shelters of all kinds. People faced with the prospect of going out to get firewood to keep things going. Man goes out, he gets shot. Women goes out, danger of rape. Children go out, danger of kidnapping. Horrible choices.
So no one's there to help protect them.
Very little protection. In fact, in Chad, the government of Chad, constant conflict in that. One of our efforts has been to solar cookers. We have donated thousands of dollars to getting solar cookers into the camp.
I wonder if you can tell us any information you have about specific individuals that you're aware of, any stories that you've heard.
My personal inspiration, Adam. Adam's a teacher. Forced to flee Tolman Darfur. He has set up a library in his camp, which we helped finance. It washed away in the rains last year, and with the kids from Shasta and particularly Enterprise High School, we've raised $3,000, which is hopefully on its way to him in the camp later this summer, and with which he will be able to build a more permanent.
We're here with Marv Steinberg and Pamela Spoto, and Pamela's going to ask a question. Would you like to, or want me to ask it?
Oh, I'll ask it, and then can I make a commentary?
Okay.
Okay, the question is a rather, well, it seems complicated, but maybe not. The question is, some like Glenn Beck have called social justice movements like what you are doing a form of creeping socialism, as if we should not try to help those less fortunate than us. What do you say in response to this kind of rhetoric? And my commentary would be, since you have brought up quotations from the Bible, and when people profess to be Christians and they have Jesus' teachings, it's my understanding that Jesus love, forgiveness, compassion, turning the other cheek, helping others in need, and all of these things seem to be what you are doing with the Darfur Project.
Well, you just gave my answer to Mr. Beck and others of his kind. I don't think humanity begins and ends in Reading or in the United States. Jesus saw no difference between the least of these, the most of these.
It is easy to love people that we love or have compassion for those that are close to, but this is more universal, as you're saying. We are all brothers and sisters, all connected in ways that we need to love among
Absolutely.
Us.
Absolutely.
We've been joined in the studio today by Marv Steinberg, the local group Genocide No More, Save Darfur. As we close out our show today, last song from Greg Lawson's CD, For the Camps, Songs for the Refugees of Darfur, and Pamela Spoto will read a lyric.
Man who had fallen among thieves, laid by the road to die, and all kinds of people noticed, and one by one they all passed him by. Who among us is this man's neighbor, not just a cell phone, 911? Who's ready to stand in the way when the riders return, run?
I thank Pamela Spoto again for helping me today interview Marv Steinberg. And I want to throw the ball one last time to Marv and tell everyone in the audience how they can get to know more about this.
If you want to get involved, my email is Loganstein, LOGANSTEIN at AOL.com. Would appreciate hearing from any of you.
Thanks, Marv. Thanks, Pamela.
You're welcome.